Some scattered rains and profit taking in wheat put the corn market on the defensive today. That was even as the soy complex pushed to the upside. And livestock? Ugh. That was an ugly start to the week.
Live from News Command Central via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Brian Hoops from Midwest Market Solutions. And in the final segment, the Artec Attack with Artec Advisory's Kerry Artec. And right after the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Tiberius Guadalupe Flores.
How right, did you let that out of the bag?
Oh, yeah, the man. So nice they gave him two middle names.
Yeah, right. I don't know where my parents came up with that Guadalupe thing.
No,
it
I'm
just
not sure
seems
either.
So strange.
No. It does.
You
seem
know,
out
Tiberius,
of left field.
I get.
Uh huh.
Tiberius, I get. I mean, it's a it's a family name, but
from your people in the Tiberian province, right?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, good grief, man! I tell you what, it's good to be back. It's almost been like a slow scramble all day, just trying to get caught up with everything that has taken place in the matter, you know, over the last week when I was out of the, out of the office, there were a lot of things that happened last week, Davis.
There really were. And I was just going to say, you know, hey, man, I should have probably told you this morning. Sadly, it could have helped earlier in the day. Yeah. But, you know, I would say don't get caught up in it, because by tomorrow it's probably going to all be different. So, you know, let's not get married to any of these ideas.
Excellent point. Excellent point. You're much better off to just kind of go minute to minute, because you're going to get refreshed. Yeah, it's all going to get refreshed at some point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I like that. The performance in the grain markets last week, after that lower open on Monday, just kind of eh. And here we are to start the week with another lower performance in the corn market, lower performance in wheat. Wheat really looks a little tough on the charts right now. But the bean market, it's almost like they're back with the idea that we're going to buy the soy complex, sell corn, sell wheat against it, and see where the market goes from here. So we'll get some perspective on that from Jack coming up in just a little bit and see what Brian thinks about that later on in the show. All right, let's get to it. What you got in the news?
Well, Chip, September soft red wheat futures were about 35 cents below last week's high in today's trade, but that put front month SRW below last week's low. Busted support is likely to continue to attract profit-taking in the form of long liquidation. Most of the fundamental news is still price-supportive, with downtrends in exportable supplies out of Europe, the Black Sea region, and Argentina. Also, Chip, USDA this morning reported U.S. exporters shipped just over 500,000 tons of wheat in the weekend of July 16. That lined up with trade expectations. September hard red winter wheat, 13¾ cents lower, 435 even. September soft red dropped 12¾ to 522. September spring wheat, 6¼ cents lower, 506½, buddy.
Yeah, we had the strong rally at the start of last week in the wheat market, put us up there to that Wednesday high, and then we sold off second half of Wednesday, Thursday into Friday. Maybe if we're starting the week under pressure this week, we put a low in at midweek and then try to work it back up in the second half of the week. When we're talking about a money flow market, those kinds of things happen.
Okay. Well, export inspections of corn in the weekend of July 16 topped trade expectations and totaled nearly 1.15 million metric tons. However, double-digit losses in wheat futures anchored corn prices, and the forecast calling for some beneficial rains and a week of seasonal temperatures made it easy to build downside momentum in the market. And in a classic case of "what have you done for me lately, baby?" traders said the lack of a corn export sale announcement this morning also limited buying interest. September corn futures 4¾ cents lower at 328¼. December corn fell 4 cents to 335¾. March corn closed at 346¼, down 3½ cents. So now it takes a daily sale every day to get the market moving to the upside. Is that what these people want?
You got to feed a bull every day if you want it to grow. And That's exactly what's happening. We had some good rains in southwest western Iowa this morning, southeast Nebraska, northeast Kansas, northern Missouri, central Missouri picked up some rain, and now rains are pushing into eastern North Dakota, north central South Dakota, and there's more rain on the way over the next 24, 36 hours.
Export inspections of soybeans in the weekend of July 16 totaled nearly 453,000 metric tons. Again, that lined up with trade expectations. USDA this morning also announced the sale of 132,000 metric tons of U.S. beans for delivery to China in the 2020 and 21 marketing year. That helped pull bean prices to the upside. Soybean meal and bean oil futures were also higher on word out of Malaysia that palm oil production could be down by 25% due to COVID-related labor issues in that country. August bean futures were a nickel higher, woohoo, 903. September beans firmed 4.5 cents to 896¾. November bean futures closed at $9 on the nose, up a nickel on the day.
And I think meal was probably helped up by the idea that the crusher down in Argentina that is having a tough time getting anything done isn't going to be supplying a whole lot of product to the market for the near term.
October cotton, 98 ticks higher, 62.99, and December cotton rallied 94 points to 62.88. That's... I figure we got to get it in where we can, right?
I love it.
Little jubilation when we've got it.
Yep.
Setback in slaughter last week. Concern about market-ready cattle backing up in feedlots. We got August live cattle futures a buck lower, 102.27.5, and D's off 25 cents, 110.45. August feeders off a buck 10, 141.60. August hogs 240 lower, 50.40, and D's dropped 107.5 to 51.20. Chip.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. How you doing this week, Jack? Good to talk with you.
Well, good to talk to you. I'm doing fine. How about you?
Doing all right. We had some very light sprinkles over here over the noon hour, some unexpected showers or sprinkles. But it's feeling easier to rain, Jack, and I think that's kind of got this corn market on the defensive, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely it does. In fact, there were some rains, very beneficial rains in many areas over the weekend. Southern half of Iowa, for one, here in Illinois. A little bit less maybe in Indiana and Ohio, although there were some rains around. And the total area that's really too dry has shrunk down to about 15% from what I read here early today. So we're getting better. And we're getting better right at the right time with pollination right in front of us. And the heat's not real strong either, so that's really helping things out as well.
Yeah, I did a lot of driving around eastern Iowa over the last few days, and we went from tassels to silks to brown silks in a short period of time. So it is happening. Hey, over in that livestock trade, just a real defensive start to the week, wasn't it?
Well, it was a disappointing start to the week.
Yeah.
I was hoping for something a little better than this. But, the hogs were clearly the weaker animal in through here. But there are plenty of hogs out there. We all know that. And no real demand news to speak of. But the cattle kind of hung in there. And I'm kind of expecting a choppy trade because we do have some reports out later on this week.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And as that money moves around livestock, it's going to lead to some choppy price action. Jack, thanks, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great.
All right, that's Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Okay, coming up next, we're going to talk with Brian Hoops from Midwest Market Solutions, see if we can figure these markets out. That's next, right here on AgriTalk. No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
You're listening to the new AgriTalk with Chip Flory and me, the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson.
Hey, Davis.
Hey, Chip.
I think it's the new AgriTalk because it's like a new day.
A whole new day?
A whole new day.
A different
right.
one, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I think this has been this way for a while now. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
you sound younger. And the good news is, yeah. The good news is if today is a new AgriTalk and a whole new day, that means that if you don't like it, tune in tomorrow because tomorrow will be a whole new AgriTalk on a whole new day. You know?
Exactly.
You might like that one better.
You might like that one better. That's right. That's right. Hey, I was going to comment at the start of the show, but it sounds like you got a haircut.
I feel like I got a haircut, dude. I can run like way faster right now. Yeah, you can't catch me right now, dude. There is no wind resistance. None.
Well, and plus with the, that's no resistance whatsoever. Love it. Love it. All right, man, let's get to it. Let's have this conversation with Brian Hoops from Midwest Market Solutions. Brian, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Good to talk with you guys again, and always enjoy our time together.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've been out driving around. I know you pretty much stay on the road this time of the year, don't you?
Oh, we get out and take a look at some crops. You know, I was up in Iowa a couple weeks ago at our office there, and boy, things are really growing, maturing, looking very good across Missouri and that northwest part where they've had some lot of rains here recently. They're looking really, really good, and there's a lot of areas that I saw that you could use some drinks of water, but a lot of areas that are exceptional right now as far as potential for corn and soybean yields this fall.
Yeah, when you talk with your clients, Brian, and your brokers, what is the area that you might be most concerned about as far as yield risk to yield because of the weather conditions?
You know, I think we've talked in previous times I've been on that central Iowa area by Denison over to Carroll is really dry. They keep missing a lot of the rains, and that soil there's some rolling hills by Denison. And, maybe that soil just doesn't hold the water as well. So they need to have rain every week, and they're not getting it. So there's some crop that's certainly curling up and really small. But, again, it's probably a fairly small area. The southern Iowa and northern Missouri have gotten really good rains. Last night they received some more rain. So I think there's some maximum yield potential there. But that's probably the biggest area of concern is parts of Nebraska that are dry, and that's extended into western Iowa as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it still, and I hate to say that any market is just a weather market or just a demand market or whatever, but it really is still a weather-driven market, isn't it?
Especially for corn, that's fair to say. We're probably 95% of our pricing influence is affected by the weather and the forecast. Soybeans, it's much less than that. You know, right now we're more focused on exports and maybe a tightening balance sheet because of those exports. But that'll shift as we go into the last week of July and in August. That'll shift to a weather market as well. That's right now we're really focused on supply and the potential sizes of our corn and soybean crops more than what we are as far as exports.
Right. You know, we had that huge sale last week to China on corn. We've been watching the results of their auction of the state-owned reserves of corn, which have been received very well by the buyers. It feels like their demand is pushing up quicker than what we anticipated. But I don't see a willingness in this market to give that demand much respect at all. What am I missing?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, we don't really need to factor in that demand right now. You know, there's always a concern when you're talking about China and making sales that they're going to abide by those sales when it comes time to ship the product to their country. You know, you look at our old crop soybeans, for example, our sales would indicate we're right on pace with the USDA forecast, but it's going to be just darn near impossible for China to take as many soybeans as what they have on the books before that old crop marketing year ends. There's only 6 weeks remaining, and to hit that that projection, China's going to have to ship almost their entirety of their 3 million tons that they have that's unshipped on the books, and it's really unlikely that they'll do that. And that means that even though they said they were going to purchase those soybeans, it may not happen. It may not get shipped over to them. And I think the trade is real cautious, especially anytime we're dealing with China, until we see the product actually shipped across the country, across the seas, do we really start to factor that into our balance sheets? And so when you're talking about yield potential and trend line yields of corn or soybeans at this time, you know, the purchases they made a couple weeks ago were about 60 million bushels on one day, 63 million bushels. They bought about 120 million just in a week's time. But that could equate to, you know, just a two bushel increase can make up for that. So it's really a weather market at this point, okay. Even though we are seeing some really good demand trends for corn and for soybeans to start the new crop marketing year.
Yeah, I see what you're looking at there. I got you. It's always that balance. And if you're adding some bushels with some rains and some cooler than expected temperatures, then yeah, you got to find an offset for it. And if all we're doing is holding steady on our balance between the demand and the, it's not an incentive to take prices to the upside. I get that. The funds, right. Get me up to speed on what's going on there, Brian. The funds still short corn?
They still have some fairly sizable net short positions. I use futures only, and they were about almost 100,000 contracts net short as of last Friday. You know, they bought a lot of contracts, 135,000 contracts from where they were at one time in June. Now looks like they're trying to put some of those positions back out there. They may end up selling that 100 or 135,000 contracts as we go into July and August, until we find maybe a harvest low. So yeah, they're still net short. The funds in the soybeans, however, they are holding, you know, a very large net long. The record, or at least the last 2 years, was about 150,000 contracts. Now they're down to about 130,000. So they still have a really big net long position in place.
Are we seeing, is that a spread situation, Brian? They're selling corn against beans?
Seems like it. You know, they usually talk about corn versus wheat, but yeah, it seems like they're, you know, long soybean market. And if you had to rank your commodities that you think would be bullish, I would say soybeans have to be the number one right now, mm-hmm. based off of how aggressive China has been buying and potential that maybe our yields won't be as good as what the USDA has in place. But, you know, corn's probably the most bearish, and soybeans may be about the most bullish at this point in time.
Yeah. It has been a long time since the funds have shown a willingness to get on the long side of this corn market, hasn't it?
Yeah, I have to look back at my research here. You know, last year would be the last time they went long, and that was during the excessive flooding that started. They were about a record net short in early May, and by late May, early June, they had flipped that around. And, of course, by the time we peaked, they were holding over 300,000 contracts net long, but since that time frame, they have steadily increased their short positions, and I think they may have went long just a few thousand contracts back in January, but it's you know, it was just for several weeks at a time there at the most.
Yeah, they're holding on to it. They're feeling pretty comfortable where they're at right now, is how it feels to me. Now it's going to take some kind of an event to trigger them out of those shorts. So what do you feel like we need to be thinking about on the risk management side for corn, Brian?
Well, yeah, you really have to be worried about the downside, you know, risk here, I think, in corn and soybeans as well. You know, you always try and tell clients you want to use opportunities and rallies that we see as your time to make sales. You don't want to have to make sales when you are forced into making them. You want to do it when there's opportunities there. And you know, we saw one in early July when corn was in the 350 to 360 range. Now we're 30 cents off of those highs. Still probably more downside to come. You know, USDA is expecting exports to increase by nearly 400 million bushels from last year. And, you know, we're going to see some of that to China. We saw some of that already, I think, being priced into the marketplace. But you start increasing yields 1 to 2 bushel per acre above the trend line, and you start producing a 15 billion plus crop, you're going to have a lot of carryout. We maybe start talking about carryouts over 3 billion bushels once again by the time we start doing some yield calculations. I hate to say that, but
I don't want to go back to that conversation, Brian.
I hear you. I know you don't want to go there, but that's where we're headed. I'm afraid we may start talking 2.9 to 3.3 billion carryout if we get into the fall harvest.
Are you putting that it was popular to talk about a 280 target to the downside for D's corn? Are you thinking that's back in play?
I don't know if I can go 280, but you know, maybe 290 to 310 is a real, okay, real bona fide
$3
downside target for December corn. Yeah, right at the $3 mark.
Gotcha. We're talking with Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions. When we come back, we'll finish up the conversation on soybeans. What do you want to do with risk management there? Then we'll get to the livestock markets with Brian next on AgriTalk. It's time for headline news featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing Today. COVID-19 update. The debate in the U.S. is intensifying on whether to roll back the opening of the businesses in some states that are experiencing a spike of COVID-19 cases, and as public schools are set to reopen in a few weeks. I want to talk to Brian about how that's influencing everything here in just a little bit, too. Trump says Fauci is a little bit of an alarmist, but he also said that's okay, a little bit of an alarmist. Stepped up testing still causing backlogs at Chinese ports. This year's monsoon spurs quick planting of summer crops in India. Egypt adds 400,000 metric tons of wheat storage capacity, can now store up to 4 million metric tons. Hey guys, check out all that ProFarmer has to offer by going to tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory, got Davis Michelson with me, and we are having a conversation with Brian Hoops from Midwest Market Solutions today. Davis, go ahead and recap how the markets closed, and then we'll get back to Brian.
Sure thing. Well, September hard red winter wheat was 13¾ cents lower, 435 even. September soft red dropped 12¾ to 522. September corn futures 4¾ cents lower, 328¼. December corn fell 4 cents to 335¾. August soybean futures were a nickel higher, 903. November bean futures closed at $9 even. That one's also up a nickel today. October cotton, 98 points higher, 62.99. August live cattle futures were a buck lower at 1.27.5, and August feeders dropped a buck 10 to close at 141.60. And August lean hogs, $2.40 lower, 50.40. Chip.
All right. Thank you, Davis. Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions is my guest today. Hey, Brian, what got on wheat so hard today?
Well, you know, hard to find much information about the wheat market. There's some talk that basis premiums in Russia, in the UK, some European nations starting to slip quite a lot, and there was increased selling as a result. There might have been some more fun selling, more liquidation coming out of the spec community today. Just with the last couple days of trade being real poor from a technical standpoint for that wheat, especially Kansas City, you know, it really has failed to see the type of rally that Chicago has. Chicago rallied about 70 cents there in just 2 weeks of time and starting to give some of that back, where Kansas City's just hovering near those contract lows once again.
Right. That sure made it hard on the corn market today, didn't it?
I thought so. Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. We thought we saw some spillover selling there. With corn, you know, corn had some negative news anyway with any lack of additional export business, plus all the rains that moved through the Midwest and the forecast. And, you know, one of our brokers in Yankton has a pretty sizable farm operation there, and he's looking at some record type yields. He was telling me this morning that there, you know, you can almost see the corn growing. It is just very humid. And, you know, they're looking at really good yields across a lot of the country, and that's what the corn market is trying to come to grips with as well.
Interesting. Okay. Let's go back to beans and risk management on beans. What are your thoughts here? Any strategies that we need to be employing?
Yeah, you know, when the last time I was on, we were talking about the $9, $9.01 area is a place where you'd want to protect. And we've been up there a couple times. We're up there again now. You know, last run here, right around the 4th of July, we made a move up above that area to 9.12 or so. And it looks like we're retracing this this recovery right back into this $9, $9.05 area. I think this is an area worth protecting. You know, we saw a lot of export sales last week. We saw more sales again this morning to China. That's about another 5 million bushels off of our balance sheets. USDA is anticipating 400 million eight bushel increase in our export forecast. A lot of that is going to be because of China. So some of this, I think, has been kind of priced in our balance sheets already. USDA is assuming stronger exports. And that's why I think when you see rallies like this, given our weather forecast, you have to be starting to get on the defensive. So we like, you know, buying $9 puts, maybe selling a 930, 940 call above it. That gives you, you know, nice window to market into with a minimum price floor right at this $9 mark. So I unfortunately, I don't think there's a bull market coming in here. I think the weather has turned to a much cooler and wetter conditions, and that is going to give us some pretty good growing conditions for the soybean market as well. We get into July and August, we talk about flowering and pod setting. That reproductive phase, I think, is going to be under some really good conditions for soybeans and probably going to have to bump our yield estimates up on those balance sheets as well.
Mm. We don't need to be adding too much. I hope not, anyway, as adding to the supply side there. I'd just soon, like we were talking about with corn, let's find a way to offset any yield gains that we might be seeing here with some increased demand. That would make me feel a whole lot better. Okay, over to livestock. Cattle, I guess they didn't perform terrible today, but based on the way things opened up, I thought, hey, you never know. We could see some strength in this market today, and then it just kind of fell apart on us.
Yeah, except for some of the back months, you know, the December closing a nickel lower on the day, but well off of session lows. You know, it was, you know, a dollar and a half off of our lows. So, you know, the performance during the day wasn't anything great. But again, the closing bell really kind of shaped things up and made it look much, much better than after that initial selling wave. And I think it's pretty healthy when a market can absorb a lot of selling, a lot of contracts changing hands like we saw this morning. And then by the end of the day, close back on the plus side. So it didn't close higher, but, you know, much higher than where it opened and where we were earlier in the session. You know, those back months were probably the ones that were the most in the deferred contracts anyway, October, December, where the most value lies. Now they're getting back in the 110 to 112 range. I think there's going to be some interest from people starting to put cattle in their feedlots that they're going to want to start hedging and laying off some of this risk. But, you know, from a fund standpoint, I think they're looking at this market here, and cash is coming in better the last 2 weeks than what we have anticipated. We thought the cash was going to be a little softer going into late July and August, and it's you know, been steady to actually firmer, and that caught some of the trade off guard.
Yeah. What's your attitude towards demand, beef demand in here right now, Brian? Because I'm thinking about that one headline from Headline News at the bottom of the hour that some states are reconsidering their reopening and could be forcing some shutdowns again. I know there's a lot going on down in Texas with the bars and grills, and it just it feels like a real stuttering start or restart, reopening to these economies out there.
Yeah, you know, you're exactly right. The cattle market is more dependent upon domestic demand than what, say, the pork market is. And so we definitely need those restaurants and bars to be open so that we can be out and see more restaurant demand. If people are going out for a nice dinner, that's usually a steak that they're going to have. You can cook that at home, obviously, and there has been some of that as well. And that's helped prop up the cattle market here. But there's enough supply that it's a concern for the front months. I think the market is, you know, like the stock market, looking ahead, anticipating, you know, that we're going to have a vaccine at some point down the road. We're going to see higher prices in the stock market. Valuations are going to go up, and things are going to get back closer to what we were before the pandemic really set in. And that's what the deferred cattle contracts are in the process of doing. You know, December contract up above 110. August is just struggling right around 102. So there's a, you know, an $8 spread difference between the two contract months, just on that anticipation alone that we're going to have a vaccine and we're going to get the economy closer to normal. And that is going to be better off for our demand in the long term.
Yeah. Okay. Over on the hog side of things, last week's slaughter was really good. I checked it out this morning. What? It was up like 10% from a year ago. If we can continue to do that, we've still got some work to do to get caught up with all the hogs that need to be processed, but we're getting closer.
Absolutely. And you know, you hit the nail on the head when you talked about the I think of the corn market, and we needed a spark to get those funds out of their short positions. It's the same thing here in this hog market. We're just kind of languishing at these contract lows. We have to have that fundamental spark to get them out of their shorts. It's very comfortable to be short in the hog futures because this market doesn't really seem to have much in the way of upside potential because of the big numbers of hogs that we have to process. But if you can get that fundamental spark, if you can get slaughter rates to increase, that's when you could see a big gain in this market. You could get big fund short covering to give us a rally. That market is more dependent upon our export supplies, and they've been very strong, as you've noted on your program. The exports to foreign countries, particularly China, well ahead of last year at this time.
Yeah. You said it. We're languishing in lean hog futures. Do you feel like we need to establish any protection in here, or do we give the market an opportunity to push back to the upside?
Yeah, I think at these price levels, you're better off carrying the risk, you know, in the cash market, or at the worst case scenario, you know, you buy a cheap put option and hope you don't have to use it. You hope you get, you know, December and October to go from the low 50s back up to the mid to high 50s, $60 before you can start really enacting any aggressive hedging programs.
Okay. As long as we're talking about livestock, can I ask you about soybean meal and whether or not we should be establishing some feed coverage in there?
You know, you look at December meal had a big outside day higher today. It looks like a lot of profit taking on oil meal spreads as bean oil ended up closing lower. I think as you get the soybean meal in that 290s area, low 290s, that's a place where you may want to lock in your meal. I don't know that we're going to be able to go much lower than that. We are crushing a tremendous amount of soybeans every month and making that into meal. The meal demand's been very strong. I think as you know, you don't want to chase a rally, but if you get an opportunity to lock in 290, 293 meal through the rest of the fall, that's an opportunity you need to take.
Yeah, and when you can establish your costs on one side of it, then you know what you're dealing with on the other side, and it doesn't make it look any prettier, but at least you know what you're dealing with, right?
Right, exactly. You can lock in your feed costs, your meal costs, your corn costs, and then hopefully you get an opportunity to add higher prices on the hogs and manage your risk if you can lock in all three of those components.
Yeah, at least you know what your targets are when you know what your costs are. So, all right. Brian, good stuff. As always, always appreciate your time. Thank you so much, man.
It's good talking with you guys. Thanks so much.
All right. That is Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions. We got to do a check of the charts, and we're going to do that with Kerry Artak from Artak Advisory. Plus, I'll take a look at the NWS 6 to 10 day update. That's next on AgriTalk.
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
All right, welcome back. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Hey, Davis, we've got some exciting things coming up at Farm Journal. Number one, we were talking with Brian Hoops about the importance of the yield and on corn and on soybeans. Well, crop tour is coming up. Starts August 17th. It's going to be, I guess we'd call it, this is what the schools are calling a hybrid situation. Okay. Spending some time online learning and in the classroom learning. Well, we're going to have scouts out in the field. They're going to be pulling samples 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th. And I'm going to be hosting the evening meeting, which is going to be a virtual meeting. And since it's the first time that it's a virtual meeting, you know what that means.
What does that mean?
That means that anybody can participate in the meeting.
Just anybody?
Okay. Anybody. All you got to do is register. All you got to do is go to farmjournalfielddays.com and register for the crop tour meetings. When mm-hmm. you're there, go ahead and get signed up for the Farm Journal Field Days. That is August 25th through the 27th. And you might as well go ahead and register for the benefit concert, too.
Well, got now, that's got to be difficult and expensive, something like that, right? Difficult and expensive?
I think it's easy and very inexpensive. You know, the one thing that I would suggest, yes. if you're gonna participate in the crop tour meetings, you know, do it like it's one of the actual crop tour meetings. Set it up so that you got a nice steak, maybe a cold beverage of your choice, and you're sitting it, and you're gonna take it all in for everything that it's worth. And I think we'll all have a good time. So just go to farmjournalfielddays.com. And you can mm-hmm. learn all about those things. Like Lee Bryce, Justin Moore signed up already for the benefit concert. Let's get to Kerry Artek, get an update on what's going on in the charts. Kerry, how you doing?
Doing great, Chip. How are you?
Doing just fine. Kerry's got a 2-week free trial waiting for you at Artek, A-R-T-A-C, advisory.com. Let's kick it off with Dees Corn.
Yeah, Dees Corn, I still show 362 half as a significant ceiling of resistance. Following a long-term sell signal from last March, you know, we rallied back to it in early July. The market backed off. We're trading in the mid-330s now. Overall, holding below 362 half, we should fall back to 307 half by the end of August, where the broader market can bottom out into autumn trade. However, a weekly settlement below 307 half would maintain a decidedly heavy dynamic into later year. 222 half then not out of the question as a 3 to 5 month downside objective where the broader corn market can actually place a decade long low. Upside, Dees Corn needs to settle any week above 362 half in order to neutralize that long-term sell signal from last March. And in the process would indicate a good 2020 low, 407 even then likely within a couple of months, 465 even not out of the question then by the end of the year. On to November soybeans, mm-hmm. 883 half can contain selling through August. We close today at 900 even, and above which a stable to bullish dynamic continues over that time horizon. I am expecting 930 even over the next 2 to 3 weeks, 957 even possible by the end of September, where the broader bean market counters long-term resistance able to contain buying into next year. The 957 even level also a significant upside pivot point into next year if we were to settle any week above it. Downside, closing the week Friday back below 883 half would allow 829 even then by the end of August, where the market can bottom out into later year. So bottom line with no beans, constructive above 883 half, and then we turn bearish below 883 half, then yielding 829 even by the end of August. And October live cattle, you know, over the last few months, I've been bullish the broader live cattle market above 90.22, roughly anticipating 105.25 as a longer term target. Well, you know, by virtue of rolling over this week from August into the October contract, we just might receive a long-term buy signal on Friday's close if we hold present price levels, you know, as the October contract closed today at 106.37. And so a clear weekly Sunday in the October contract above 105.25, I would anticipate bullish continuation into later year, the 124.50 level then in reach over the next 3 to 5 months, where the broader cattle market can top out well into next year. Okay. On the other hand, closing Friday below 105.25 will keep this market susceptible to falling back to 90.22 long-term support over the next few months, where it can bottom out through the balance of the year. And that's all I got. If you want me to, I can talk about October lean hogs if you like.
Please do if you've got it.
I do. 55 even, well above the market right now. They closed 50.40, but 55 even remains a ceiling that can contain buying through August, and below it, still expecting 42.62 long-term support over the next 2 to 3 weeks. That's a significant floor of support, 42.62, that can contain broader selling through the balance of the year. Upside, if we close the week Friday above 55 even, which is a long shot at this point, that would nonetheless indicate a good summer low. 65 even then expected, say, by the end of August, where the broader market can top out through the rest of the year. And that's all I got, Chip.
All right. Sounds good, Kerry. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. That's Kerry Artek, Artek Advisory. Okay, National Weather Service, 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for July 26th through the 30th.
It is July after all. What do you expect, Chip? It is July.
Don't do that to me. No, get above started. Normal temperatures expected over the entire Corn Belt. With the highest odds of above normal temperatures over Joke eastern implied. Iowa, southern Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan. 80% odds. 80% odds of above normal temperatures at that time in that circle.
Is that
but
right?
Above normal temperatures over the entire belt. Above normal precipitation expected northern Nebraska, northern Iowa, northern Illinois, Indiana, and points to the north. We've got mostly normal precip expected over the rest of the belt. Western Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma looking at below normal precipitation at that time. Now, if we jump out to the 8 to 14 day, and this is for July 28th through August 3rd already, we've still got the above normal temperatures over the entire Corn Belt. Normal to above normal precipitation expected over the entire Corn Belt. So these rains that have come on of late are really helping out. No doubt about that. Okay.
Well,
for Davis and producer Joe Stackler, thank you for listening today. Appreciate it. Get this, Davis.
Yeah.
For tomorrow morning, we've got Dr. Frank Mitlerner from UC Davis.
Awesome.
We've got Congressman Sam Graves from Missouri.
What?
And Arlen Suderman is coming on in the morning show. And then tomorrow afternoon, we're talking weather with Elwin Taylor, Iowa State University.